Well, just going back over this past week, slightly more mixed in terms of the economic data out of the United States, but still some signs of strength in key areas such as job vacancies and also in things like purchasing managers' indices. So just in terms of job vacancies or joblessness, had the initial jobless claims came out, and they were the lowest so far, in this whole cycle, down to 444,000. Market's looking for 450,000. They're down from 478,000 the week before. So they speak to strength still running through the labor market in the United States. And the purchasing managers' indices, these are not the ISM ones, but the old-style manufacturing purchasing managers' index and services sector PMI, both the month of May, they came out late in the week, and both went up again. The manufacturing PMI went up to 61.5 from 60.5, and the services sector PMI went up way more than expected to 70.1 from 64.7. Market was looking for 64.6 on that. And this is the opening up of the US economy, the greater confidence. They're getting on top of the pandemic pretty well now, the US, and it's largely down to quite large-scale vaccination rates, which are really allowing the economy to open up in degrees. There was some mixed data in other areas. We had things like housing permits and housing starts, not quite as strong as they have been. So housing permits rose, but only by 0.3%. That was after a 1.7% increase. Still reasonably strong. Housing starts, bumpy. The month before, we had a huge lift in March, up 19.8%. And thought it would come back about 1.7%. Came down by 9.5%, so a little bit of bumpiness running through that. We also heard a lot from various Fed governors during the course of the weekend, had the FOMC minutes. And, this is the new watch in the United States is, just how much inflation's in the system. And there's one or two of the Fed governors who are just getting a little bit excited and thinking that, the Fed should be starting to announce a taper, at least in terms of QE. Sooner rather than later. That's not the view of the committee as such, and that came through in the FOMC minutes. So for the time being, it's still that same idea that they're going to keep monetary policy very, very easy for the time being. There is a bit of division in the ranks there. And so as we go forward, going to be watching inflation readings in particular with great care. This week in the United States, we've got some signs of asset price inflation. It's an indicator that's not watched much these days. In some ways, it should be. It's the Case-Shiller House Price Index. And we've got the March reading coming out. So it's not particularly current. It's probably one of the reasons why it's not watched as much as it should be. And it looks as if it was up another 1.3%. That comes out on Tuesday. If that's the case, then house prices across the United States over the last year rose by over 12%, up 12.3% year on year. So you've certainly got some asset price inflation running through there. Obviously that's a support too in terms of household wealth. It's another one of the reasons why you wouldn't expect the strong economic recovery to disappear anytime soon unless you get some policy response which is going to kill it. And that's just not on the cards for the time being. We also get May consumer confidence coming out on Tuesday. This one has had two really strong months where it's risen from a few months ago around the 90-ish level, and going back to April, it got up to 121.7, very, very strong, according to the history of that survey. They're expecting it to hold most of that strength, so still expecting 119 for that one when it comes out. We have some bumpiness running through home sales, so we'll get April new home sales coming out on Tuesday. They had a whopper of a month going back the month before. They're up 20.7% month on month. So not surprisingly, the market thinks that those have come back about 5% for the most recent reading. On Thursday, we get revised Q1 GDP. That, if anything, will be revised up a little bit. It was at 6.4% annualized going back to the first reading. This revision looks as if it'll lift that a little bit to 6.5%. We've got initial jobless claims on Thursday that's now being watched because it's running so low and is expected to go even below that 444,000 from last week to 425,000. And we get some personal income, personal consumption spending data for the month of April coming out on Friday. And in terms of personal income, bumpiness in this too. Yeah, when everybody got their $1,400 checks in the post, which most workers in the US did in March, yeah, we had a huge 21.1% month-on-month lift in personal income. Yeah, the corollary of that is we get a bit of a pullback in the month of April and expecting to see it fall 14.8% month-on-month, still net. You've got a gain between the 2 months, but yeah, obviously it flattens out a bit over the course of a couple of months. They think, though, that personal consumption spending will still be up for the month of April. That was after it had a big rise of 4.2%, but obviously they didn't spend all of that check in that month, and so a lot of it went back into savings, and it's this huge savings pools which around the world, which people are watching, because that can flood into spending, and they're expecting some of that to have trickled through in April with a 0.5% increase on top of the 4.2% going back the month before. We had China data last week, and for the most part, it was reasonably firm. We had fixed asset investment spending, which, you know, we expect these are all year-on-year figures, so you know, they're running off a very low base compared with particularly March last year. These are April ones, so the base is a little bit higher, and so you'd expect them to come back from, you know, the huge figures that we had going back to March, where fixed asset investment spending was up 25.6% year-on-year. They expect it to come back to 19. It came back to 19.9, so that was actually quite a good result. Suggests there's some strength running through there. Industrial production came back as expected from 14.1% year-on-year to 9.8%. That's still pretty strong. And retail sales, which were at 34.2% year-on-year, going back to the month of March, came back. They were expected to come back to about 24.9%. This is the one that dived a bit lower than expected. It came in at 17.7. So same old story for China. You know, the things that they can direct and move, they can very effectively. You know, the Chinese people, you know, people think that they do whatever the government wants them to do. They show their independence big time when it comes to something like retail sales. And this is where you almost get a confidence vote in the government, where, you know, they don't quite do what the government's telling them to do. So, you know, they tend to hold some back in savings, more so than the government would like. And they're doing it because they really don't trust the government. And so, you know, you get that sense running through retail sales, and it's just it's not as strong as the authorities are trying to dictate. Nothing coming out of China through the course of this week. Last week, we had both the RBA minutes and we also had the wage price index and employment data, Westpac consumer sentiment, and April retail trade. And the story is that these are still running pretty strong. So we had the Q1 wage price index, which was a touch stronger than expected. It was expected to be up 0.5% quarter on quarter. It was up 0.6. And so the annual wages growth has lifted slightly to 1.5 from 1.4. Still, you know, consistent with the RBA story that wages are still going to be very, very slow to pick up to the levels which would support ongoing inflation. But it's interesting that we've had two quarters in a row now which have been above RBA and market expectations. So some of the shortages in the economy may be starting to show through. We had the RBA minutes, and there was talk in the RBA minutes about supply chain problems and you know, how that lifts inflation in the near term. But their conclusion coming out of that is it's all going to be temporary and go away. Give it a quarter or two, but they do expect a blip upwards in inflation in the very near term, and then it'll come back. And then they still have time up their sleeve, they're saying, in the course of those minutes. So there wasn't much change in their direction, that it's still going to take time before they think about lifting rates. And we had the labour force data, which essentially were pretty strong. There was a pullback in employment, but it was only 30,600 overall. It was entirely in part-time. Full-time employment actually increased by 33,800. And this is supposed to be the peak month for the pullback after the end of JobKeeper. Going back 6 weeks ago, Treasury was saying this figure would be around about minus 150,000. Well, it was a fifth of that. So yeah, it really does show some signs of strength running through. And to add to it, the previous month was revised up. It was already at plus 70,700 and was revised up to plus 77,000. The participation rate came back a touch, as you'd expect, after the end of JobKeeper, from a record high of 66.3% to 66%. And the unemployment rate came down more than expected, from 5.7% going back to the month of March, down to 5.5%. So, that again is running lower than people's forecasts. And even the RBA's latest forecast, which was only produced a few weeks before, and it's continuing to dive underneath that. So these are the pressure points where that taper debate, which is starting in the US about what should be happening to QE, there's the beginnings of that starting to occur here. A few of the big banks are starting to call for a tapering of QE. Not an interest rate hike or anything like that yet, but it's interesting that things are just starting to shift a little bit. Also, we still got the strength running through spending. We had the preliminary April retail trade data came out, and it was up another 1.1%. That was after lifting 1.3% the month before. So, retail spending is really moving along very, very strongly. And to put this into some sort of context, pre-COVID, if we got a 0.6 for retail trade in a month, we used to think that was extraordinarily strong. We're now getting over ones per month because people are running off that saving that was built up by government support. They're getting much more confident about the economy. So these are running really strongly. This week in Australia, we get some preliminary international trade data coming out on Tuesday. Going back a month, we still had a trade surplus of $8.5 billion trade surplus. Still expected to hold up. The trade dispute with China, obviously over time will start to whittle away at this, but still looking for about $6 or $7 billion at least in terms of the trade surplus running through in those preliminary figures when they come out on Tuesday. Later in the week, we get some more indicators towards Q1 GDP. Q1 GDP is out right at the beginning of June. First Wednesday in June, we get Q1 GDP, and a momentous figure because it will show that the annual growth rate went above zero. Given that middle of last year it was at minus 6.3% year on year, that is a record pace recovery out of recession. Never seen anything like that before in Australian economic history, where you've had such a deep recession and you get out of it in 6 to 9 months. But that's what the figures are likely to show, and we've got some contributors to that coming through middle of this week. The first one is construction work done for the first quarter. Inside of this, we get both commercial construction, engineering works like roads and all those sorts of bits and pieces, and also, of course, housing. And housing is likely to have picked up quite a bit in these numbers. And so they were down 0.9% quarter on quarter going back to Q4. The market thinks that construction work done lifted by 2.2%. And there's a pretty strong contribution, obviously, to Q1 GDP. Then on Thursday, we get private capital expenditure. And this had a large rise going back to Q4, particularly in plant and machinery investment spending by businesses. Businesses had run down investment spending a long way over the last couple of years. In the case of the mining industry, it was barely down to replacement, the amount of investment that's going in, and is starting to lift off a low base. So we had a large lift going back to Q4 last year, 5.7% quarter on quarter. Expected another gain, probably not as big as the 5.7, so the market's looking for a 2% lift in private capital expenditure. And we also get another estimate of capital spending for the 2021-2022 financial year. Going back to the last estimate, it was at $105.5 billion for the year. It's probably going to lift around about 108 or 109, which will be a very, very good lift between the two estimates relative to where they've travelled in the past. And another one of those indicators that the economy is picking up, it's already running strongly, but the momentum isn't giving up much at all at the moment. So it's still looking at a lot of strength running through. In Europe last week, we had revised Q1 GDP. They had a double dip in their growth rate there. The earlier figures for Q1 GDP were minus 0.6% quarter on quarter, minus 1.8% year on year. No change expected to that. We get the that's what we had last week in terms of GDP. We also had their CPI came out. And unlike the inflation pressure we're seeing in many other places, not evident really in Europe. So Europe is still quite low as far as inflation is concerned. The CPI came in at 0.6%, 1.6% year on year. It was at 0.9 going back to March, and 1.6, so it's holding in that mid ones. We also had manufacturing and services sector PMIs came out. And same story, when we're looking at advanced economies are leading the global lift in growth this time around. Normally you expect to see it run through emerging economies first. This time around it's been the advanced economies because of the huge policy support that's been given in those countries. And it's there in Europe too in these leading indicators. So their May Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index was strong, 62.8, holding roughly where it was going back to April at 62.9. So these are strong readings, and the services sector PMI lifted surprisingly from 50.5 to 55.1. So that's quite a strong lift for that particular indicator. So some signs out of Europe that the leading indicators are really starting to lift. And they are reducing restrictions. There's a lot more travel around Europe. Yeah, you get some back steps from time to time because of the flaring of the Indian variant of the virus in the UK and a bit of border restriction going back on between travel between Britain and Germany. But it's, for the most part, Europe's moving ahead quite fast. They're going into the summer months. They've got policy support behind them. So we should expect a run of surprisingly strong data starting to run out of Europe over the course of the next few months, indeed the next couple of quarters. And so some strength starting to return there. And they'll be reflected in the one piece of data they got this week too, which is the May Business and Consumer Survey, which jumped all the way up to 110.3. That's a very strong reading for that survey going back to the month of April, and is expected to lift further to 112.1. That would be record territory. Never been as strong as that before. So, we've got these pretty elastic rebounds in terms of economic activity already running in the United States, and very much so here in Australia. And Europe's just about to start to catch up, and we'll start to see those numbers starting to come through there. But all told, pretty strong data. Yeah, we get some volatility from time to time running through risk assets. In amongst that, we've got the technology sector, which did get overextended, and the subplot in there too of the rise and fall of cryptocurrencies. We've certainly got some volatility running through things, but for the most part, it's still a sign of strength coming through. And we should expect that to be reflected in broad terms in risk assets over time.